Welcome back to Hype Podcast. This is Hypeable.com's flagship show. We bring you all the latest news in entertainment and pop culture every week. My name is Pamela, and if you're joining us for the first time today, I'm one of the main hosts on this show. We do release episodes every week where we, like I said, break down all of the latest news that you should be informed about. But today we're here with another special for you guys. As you know, if you've been hanging out for a while, we like to do these whenever something monumental comes around. And considering that fall TV is just around the corner and we're going to get all of these brand new shows in the 2016 lineup, we decided that we need to come together and talk about all of these amazing pilots that are about to hit your screens. So I am here with two of our other regular hosts as well. We have Kristen and Kyle, who you guys might recognize. How you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Good.
Awesome. And we also felt like we needed to recruit our resident TV expert over on Hypeable for this episode. So we have Brittany here, too, who you might know from a bunch of other podcasts. But in case you don't, Brittany, do you want to introduce yourself really quickly?
Sure. So I'm Brittany. And I'm a host on Rewatchable, Hypeable's podcast where we rewatch completed or canceled television shows. And I'm also the host of Onceable, Once Upon a Time podcast. And I also partake in Book Hype, which is another Hypeable podcast. And I write for Hypeable, if that wasn't clear already.
And you watch a lot of TV. I think that's the one thing we all have in common is we all consume a lot of television. So needless to say, we are excited about this episode for sure. We are actually going to hop right in here because we have a lot of stuff to cover. And when we were thinking about how to put the show together for you guys, we figured it was going to be easiest to go by network. And we're just going to go in alphabetical order. So we're not going to cover every pilot that's coming out, but we just kind of pick the ones that we are personally excited for, and we're going to chat about those. And we're going to start with ABC, and Kristen's going to lead off this particular network's discussion.
We might not be getting any more Agent Carter. I know, we're all in mourning. But Hayley Atwell will be returning to our screens this year with her pilot Conviction. Basically, what it's about, her character's name is Hayes Morrison, and she is your run-of-the-mill bad girl former first daughter. She has been apparently teaching at some college or something and has been sleeping with students and does drugs, and she's, your basic bad girl. And rather than send her to prison or take her to court, she gets offered a job, which is totally unfair, to run NYC's new conviction integrity unit. And basically, she's sentenced to having to run this unit and look into people who have been found, been convicted of crimes that may have been wrongfully convicted of such. So she'll be looking into cases that may have been wrongfully punished or whatever, and hopefully overturn them. It looks really cool. If you there's a trailer out there. Other noteworthy stars that I've seen so far are Sean Ashmore, who you may know from The Following. He's also been recently on, I believe, Killjoys. And then Emily Kinney, who everybody knows from The Walking Dead. And it looks interesting. It's definitely not Agent Carter, but it's nice to see Hayley back on our TVs.
Is anybody else excited for this? I feel like this is the year of lawyer shows. There's so many like new lawyer dramas coming out within like this year and also next year.
Or political driven stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff mixed into that world.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this. I love a good procedural, and this has those roots of being a procedural. But also, I love the idea of it being on ABC because ABC always does something different and adds so many more dimensions to their characters than, say, something on CBS, where it's basically like cut and dry, like this is the police department, this is the lawyers, this is that. So I'm really excited to see Hayley Atwell because I am not really a huge Marvel fan. And so Agent Carter I'd never watched it. And I really like her, though, as an actress. So I'm looking forward to seeing her in something with a little more meat because I think that ABC just has that reputation right now for creating really dynamic characters.
And we have one more really kind of political, like Kristen was saying, ABC pilot that's coming out soon as well. But just so everybody knows, Conviction is coming out in October. So you have a bit of a while to wait before this one still, right?
Pilot premieres on Monday the 3rd of October. So you've got a little time, but not too much.
Yeah. Well, as for the next ABC series that we're looking forward to, I saw signs for this. It's called Designated Survivor. And the first time I saw this, I was at Comic-Con, and I thought it was a Scandal thing because they had like a White House in like the exhibit hall. And it is another political drama by ABC about the White House, but it's not about Olivia Pope. Starring Kiefer Sutherland and Natasha McKellen, it's about the very true concept, by the way, this is a very real thing, about how when there's a State of the Union address, there's one person left behind in the White House or in wherever who will take over if something happens at the State of the Union and everyone, like, dies. Like, if someone blows it up and, like, everyone in succession has been killed off, that last person, the designated survivor, becomes the president of the United States. It never happens, ever. So they always pick, like, the lowest of the low who has no idea, like, what's, like, they don't have the real presidential potential. They just kind of, like, pick someone. And so it's about what happens when someone blows up the State of the Union. And Kiefer Sutherland plays that person where he is just living his life. And one night he's watching the State of the Union. It blows up, and the next thing he knows, he's president, and he has to be guided on what to do next. So I think this sounds fantastic, let alone the fact that it's, like, an actual thing, like a designated survivor. I love the fact that they're making this into a TV show.
I feel like if this were, like, 8 years ago, it could be the plot of the next season of West Wing. Like, they definitely talked about the designated survivor thing on the show, like, they left, I think it was the Secretary of Agriculture, wasn't allowed to go because they wanted, you know, everybody who was well known by the masses to be seen on camera at the State of the Union. So they always pick some secretary who nobody knows. And yeah, to see that become its own concept for a show, like, it's really interesting. And I saw some stuff about it at Comic-Con too, and I actually got to walk through the White House thing, and it seems really cool. I'm excited for it.
I did that too on your recommendation at Comic-Con, and it was so much fun. I feel like ABC always kills it there. So I hope that any of you that are listening who happened to be at Comic-Con got to go. And we got a really fun preview for the season as well in there. It was like an extended trailer.
Yeah, it was kind of like the first, like, 2 minutes of the show. I asked Laura, and she was like, It's kind of that, because Laura got to see the whole pilot while she was at Comic-Con, and she was like, it's kind of like that, yeah, but they add a few more things to the very beginning. So it was a nice little first look at what's going to happen when the show starts.
Yeah, I saw the pilot. It's really good. I think it's going to be sort of along the lines of another 24, but with that ABC mix to it. And this was always a question on my history tests in high school. Like, it was always the bonus question when you came back from break. It was like, okay, so who's in the bunker this year? So I was very familiar with the concept of who the designated survivor was. And I think that Kiefer Sutherland is just, he's really great in the role because he's great under pressure. Because if you've watched 24 at all, he is very, like, you know, have to get things done right away, but he's sort of more timid in this role, and him trying to figure things out. I think it's just perfect casting, and it has a lot of potential, but I'm curious to see where it goes beyond the pilot.
It's really interesting because they're going to have to fight with their other presidential, like, drama that they have. Like, people have such a strong connection with Scandal, and they identify with how Scandal looks and how it feels. And so the fact that they're having another show on the same network about something in the presidency, I feel like they're drawing a really thin line between, like, what people are willing to, like, watch over and over again.
So we are going to switch gears a little bit, go over to BBC America. They have one pilot that's getting a lot of traction right now. It's called Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency, and it stars Samuel Barnett and Elijah Wood as Dirk Gently and his sidekick Todd, respectively. And this is actually based off of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy author Douglas Adams' Dirk Gently comics. So that might be why it sounds familiar. I don't know, like, you know, either if you've read them before or like maybe you've just seen them on a shelf somewhere. And I, to be honest with you guys, this was only on my radar because I'm a huge fan of the History Boys, and Samuel Barnett was in the History Boys, is in this. But I saw the trailer for this and it just looks like so much fun. It's just like super quirky and out there, but like not too out there. And I think that if you don't know what this is about at all, I would highly recommend just going to check out the trailer, because I think it'll sell you. It looks different, but in a good way.
I'm so happy you said that you were drawn to it because of the History Boys, because History Boys is one of my favorite movies of all time. And that is also why I was so intrigued by this. And I watched the trailer and I was just like, yes, I need this right now. I need all the corgis in my life and mystery and detectives. I love it. I'm completely sold.
Yeah, totally. And I think I read somewhere too, because I don't know very much about the source material, but I guess there's some kind of time travel element as well. So it's kind of like Sherlock meets Doctor Who, which is exciting as well. But definitely like the Samuel Barnett draw, like that was the main draw for me. anyway, if you're interested in that, it does premiere on October 22nd on BBC America. And I'm almost positive we have a write-up about this show up from Comic-Con. So if you want more information on it, head on over to highbubble.com and check out what we've got.
Moving right along, the CW has a bunch of new shows coming out, but it seems like most of them are being held until January. So while we won't be talking about Riverdale, which I would love to talk about, we are going to talk about No Tomorrow, which premieres on October 4th. It stars Joshua Sass, who you might remember from Gallivant, which may have not had a long life at ABC, but it's still been around. And Tori Anderson, who is not someone I'm very familiar with, but she's done quite a bit. Her most recognizable thing that I've noticed at all was Killjoys, as well as, like, she was in a couple of episodes, like an episode of Rain, and she's done a couple of other things here and there, an old episode of Smallville, which even I don't remember her from. But the main idea for this is that this girl turns down her boyfriend who is, like, proposing to her, and I think the next day meets this guy who tells her that the world only has 8 months and 12 days until it's going to end. And so it's basically about, like, what would you do if you, you know, had just met this interesting person who told you this and you're kind of falling for him, and like, what would you do with 8 more months? Like, it seems really interesting and really fun, and I don't know. I'm definitely going to check it out and see where they take it. This whole end of the world thing has been done before, but I want to see if they've got a new angle on it somehow.
I love Joshua Sass.
I'm guessing Sass.
I love his last name either way. I love him because of Gallivant, and so that's really the only thing that's turning me on to this. Otherwise, I feel like I'm watching that what's that movie with Steve Carell, and the end of Tomorrow and Keira Knightley.
Yeah, it's like the
Seeking a Friend for the End of the Earth.
Yes, exactly. But I don't know, it feels like it could be good.
Yeah, again, I think it's one of those pilots that once you, like, see it, you'll have a good idea of where they're going from there. Like, the concept itself may not be the selling point, but the trailer looks really fun, and it's really kind of lighthearted and silly, so I'm interested to see where it goes.
You know, the thing I love about this is that I feel like the CW, like, people are very quick to associate the CW with, like, the supernatural, sci-fi, fantasy type element, because they have, you know, all those superhero shows, they have obviously Supernatural, Vampire Diaries, all of that stuff. But I kind of love that they're also dipping their toes into comedy as well, like with Jane the Virgin, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and then now this, which is kind of like a marriage of both, with the idea of the world ending and then also kind of like a dark comedy. So Yeah, I don't know. This is not on the top of my list, like, honestly, but I will probably check this out when it hits Netflix for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think it may not be the show of the year, but it could find a niche audience, like, just find the right group of people who love it. And that's pretty much all you need to do on the CW is find, you know, the right group of people who really fall in love with the show, and it, you know, will have a decent chance at sticking around. So I'm definitely going to check it out.
And when does it premiere again?
October 4th, my birthday.
Oh, awesome.
And coming to Fox this fall, there's another comedy, which is half cartoon and half real people. It's called Son of Zorn, and it actually premieres tomorrow night, and it stars Jason Sudeikis, who voices the animated character Zorn, who is this defender of Zephyra and conqueror of the tribes of Agon. He's like, you know, he's got these giant birds and like crazy creatures, and he kind of looks like, you know, out of an 80s cartoon. And he comes back to L.A. and he's trying to reconcile things with his real life wife, who is played by Cheryl Hines. And I think it's just going to be right up my alley comedy wise. I love Fox animated comedies, from The Simpsons to Family Guy to Bob's Burgers, which is one of my all time favorite animated sitcoms that is on TV today. So I think that this, judging by just the trailer alone and a few clips that I've seen here and there, that's just going to be hilarious. Like, just this animated character trying to fit into LA suburban life. And instead of giving his son a car, he gives him like this giant hawk. And then they're like, no, you can't give him a hawk. So he like slays it. And then he's like, right, you know, killed it right away, but it comes back to life. And he's trying to like kill it in the driveway. And I think that the interplay of real life people with this one animated thing will be really funny. It might only last a season. I don't think it's probably going to last for a very long time, but I think it's going to entertain me in the minimal amount of time it's allowed on air.
I love how you're so realistic about the idea of this show.
I'm like, I know it's not going to last, but I'm going to be so entertained for like 5-6 weeks.
Yeah, sometimes that's the most important thing, like, as long as you're entertained. But it's going to suck if it's really good and then it gets canceled.
Yeah.
And that's coming up too, right? That premieres soon.
Yeah, that premieres on Sunday, September 11th. So pretty much as this is happening, it's going to premiere.
I'm going to be waiting to hear your thoughts on Twitter. I'm sure you'll be tweeting up a storm.
Oh, yes.
We have one more Fox pilot coming this September. This is one of the most highly anticipated pilots of the season. I think that's fair to say. And it's also the one that I'm most excited for. Pitch is premiering on September 22nd, and it follows the story of the first female major league pitcher. She gets called up from AAA to pitch for the San Diego Padres. It stars newcomer Kylie Bunbury as Jenny Baker, and it also stars Saved by the Bell's Mark Paul Gosselaar as the catcher and team captain Mike Lawson. And there's a bunch of other people in here too. One of the bigger names that really stuck out to me is Allie Larder, who plays Jenny's handler Amelia Slater. I got to see the pilot for this, and I, as somebody who grew up loving baseball, I basically, you know, grew up going to Candlestick Park back when the San Francisco Giants used to play over there. This show really struck a chord with me, and I didn't think it was going to, but I think just the idea of seeing a girl take center stage at a major league baseball field was something that I didn't expect to like resonate so much with me. But I like get teary-eyed every time I see the trailers for this. I totally got teary-eyed in the pilot. You're definitely going to want to check this one out, because the first episode blew me away. And there was a huge plot twist in there that I'm not going to talk about, because I want you guys to be surprised for yourselves if you haven't seen it yet. And yeah, you're definitely going to want to tune in to this one for sure.
Yeah, this one is definitely at the top of my list. I used to be a fast pitch softball pitcher, so I've got a special place in my heart for pitchers. And when I found out that that's like where this was gonna center, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, it's baseball, but it's the same thing for me. I'm so geeked about it. I think it's gonna be fantastic, and I'm really, really excited to see what they do with it. So yeah, definitely at the top of my list.
I got so nerdy with the idea of this. Like, I had all these, like, technical questions that I'm sure, like, nobody really wants to know about. Like, are they going to talk about the idea that her body's not made for this? Is she going to start slowing down as seasons progress? And then all the behind-the-scenes stuff. Like, how much did the Padres have to pay to get featured on this show? Do they have other baseball clubs in mind? Are we going to go to other baseball fields? Because they do film on location. So I think that that's really great that it's actually, like, it's filmed at Petco Park, which is a beautiful, beautiful ballpark, and it's set in San Diego. The cast is, like, going to film there, and I think that's great. It's not just one of those, like, things where they're just going to CGI, you know, the park and the place in as they film out in Los Angeles. They're actually filming on location, and I think it really adds to the authenticity. When you watch, if you're a fan of Major League Baseball, I think you're really going to notice, like, the effort that they put into the show to make sure that it felt like it was real. And I think that all of that just adds to the believability, even though it sounds impossible, like a girl pitching for the major leagues. I could talk about this all day long.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to stop now.
I'm really excited, and I'm, like, about to watch this screener, like, ASAP, basically. I think after this podcast, I'm going to go watch it because I'm very excited. Super stoked. Although they need to have an episode at AT&T Park in San Francisco, because, I mean,
I would die.
Right?
I would die.
Right?
Yeah.
So moving away from Fox and baseball down to Atlanta, where FX is featuring one of its new comedies, also called Atlanta, starring Donald Glover and Brian Tyree Henry. And guys, I am already so into this show. It already premiered. It started this week. So on September 6th, it aired two of the first couple of episodes back to back. And it, at first glance, when you're watching it, the first 5 minutes or so, Atlanta seems like it's going to be more of a drama. But as you're watching it, it becomes one of the funniest shows I've ever seen. And the premise is so basic. Donald Glover is living in Atlanta. He's a father of a 2-year-old, and he's trying to make it work with his daughter's mother, and he's trying to pay rent and get all these jobs, but he has such high ambitions. And his friend shows him a video of his cousin doing this rap that's going viral to a song called Paperboy, and he decides, well, that's it. This is my ticket home. And he goes and he finds his cousin, and he's like, I'm gonna manage you, gets a song on the radio, and all this other stuff from there. And it's just so much heart in this pilot that I saw and in the second episode, that it just feels so real and such a grounded story, and nothing's too outlandish, and it feels like it's really rooted in Atlanta. And I cannot wait to see more. But that also, that already premiered. And I'm just wondering, have any of you heard of this? Or are you going to check it out? Donald Glover is so funny. If you saw him in The Martian, it's basically that character, but not on so much caffeine.
Yeah, I totally agree. I saw the first episode of this. I love Donald Glover. I love him as an actor. I love him as a comedian. I love him as Childish Gambino, his rapper alter ego. And I feel like this kind of melts all of those together.
Yes.
Like, he's able to kind of do everything. And that's amazing. I will agree that the first, like, it took me like 5-10 minutes to get into the first episode of this show. But as soon as, like, it really hits its stride, you're just like, I just want to keep watching. So I'm definitely going to be keeping tabs on this as well.
Yeah, it was definitely a little bit of an adjustment, because, like I said, like, it's kind of slow to start. But once the comedy starts hitting and you find those beats, it was just such easy watching after that. I was like, all right, this is going to be funny. But you just have to let it get to the funny part, which is good. And then another comedy that started on FX also this past week, was Better Things. And it's developed by Louis C.K. with Pamela Alden. And if you don't know who Pamela Alden is, she was on Louis. She played Louis's, like, on and off again girlfriend. And she was also the voice actress behind the character Bobby Hill for King of the Hill, if that places her in better context for some people who may love King of the Hill. And she is almost playing herself in an autobiographical role. She's playing a single mom who has three daughters, and she's living in LA in a nice home, but she's struggling to get jobs and constantly going to auditions. And she's also, like, you know, making her living as a voice actress still. And she has a daughter who is just about 17 and another who's 13 and a little baby who's, she's not a baby, but in the first episode, she's very demanding of attention and she's only probably about 7 or 8. And these kids are just so great and such big personalities in only the 20 minutes that you have to meet them. And you really just get a sense of this woman's life and the daily struggles that she's going through and just, you know, trying to connect to her older daughter and trying to get jobs and trying to be the mom that doesn't put out that she's exhausted all the time and trying to get work. And, you know, I absolutely loved it. It's just very simple premise, but it's very well executed.
There are so many, like, crazy high-concept comedies and even, you know, and dramas and that on TV right now that sometimes it's really nice to see somebody, like, strip it back and give you a very simple premise and just see where they go with it. Because when you start with something as simple as this, there's a million places it could go. You're not tied into one specific idea. And I think that sounds really cool. I love Louis C.K. So I never really got a chance to get into Louis. I always intended to and never got, you know, really jumped into it. But this sounds really cool. I might have to check it out.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's really simple and it's really cool. And it's just, it was a good watch for an hour. Or not even an hour, it was a half hour, but I watched two episodes. So it was, yeah, it's really great and simple. But the not so simple on FX, one of the banes of my existence.
The most amazing show ever.
No, if you read anything I write about American Horror Story on Hypeable, you know that it's the bane of my existence. Oh. And so anyway, American Horror Story is coming back this week. No idea what's going on. We know that Sarah Paulson's involved. We know Cheyenne Jackson is involved. We know Lady Gaga's coming back.
I read
probably Kathy B.
I read a rumor. Wait, like, so I don't know if this is official because I don't know where I read this, but I read somewhere that the season was confirmed, like the theme was confirmed to be the Roanoke colony. But
if that was more than 2 weeks ago, then it's not confirmed.
Oh man. Okay.
It's been a very popular fan theory for a very long time because of a couple of leaked set photos, but nothing has been officially confirmed because they're refusing to confirm anything.
That, like,
because they had a fan contest to guess the theme.
I'm just wondering, like, how is it just going to be labeled American Horror Story on our DVRs? Like,
no,
you can't even like.
This was another thing that happened last week. So in case you are not aware, Hype listeners, I cover American Horror Story, so it's my job to know what's going on. But there was a leak in TV Guide magazine where they had printed that it was called American Horror Story The Mist. Now, whether or not The Mist is the theme is up in the air because there was a trailer that was called The Mist. There's a Stephen King novella called The Mist where a town is taken over by this mist, and in the mist, like, all these dark things come out and people's inner secrets, and which makes sense for an American Horror Story theme, but it has not been confirmed by FX. No one is reaching out saying anything, and FX has been having this contest that's been going on for fans where they can write in and guess the theme, and it premieres on Wednesday, September 14th. So it's coming out this week, and they're just not saying anything up to this point, but there have been a lot of trailers that have come out that kind of are consistent. So a lot of the trailers have featured teeth, cornfields, children, and medical supplies. Those have been the reigning themes.
We know that children are going to be a part of it, right? Because Ryan Murphy has talked about children.
Yes. Six months ago, Ryan Murphy was like, listen, I have three ideas. One of them is children. Maybe it's a thing.
I like your Ryan Murphy impersonation. Best Ryan. but, you know, as much as, like, I would hate to be an American Horror Story fan right now because it is really frustrating that there's, like, no way to really know what the series is going to be about this season. But I will say from a marketing standpoint, it's very clever of them to just say, you know what, like, we're going to keep everybody guessing. We're going to release all these trailers. Some of them are spot on. Some of them are not. They've been creeping me out, so they're doing the spider something ones right. Like the spiders, yeah. Ugh. No, thank you.
Nope. The ones where they're crawling up the spine and then they just pop right into the base of your neck. Nope. Sorry, Kristen.
I've successfully avoided every trailer for the show so far, and I will continue to hopefully avoid every trailer.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't do horror well.
Yeah, I go back and forth with American Horror Story. I think the execution of the seasons is awful. Their track record is just awful, in my personal opinion.
Season one was great.
Well, that's agreed upon, but it's really not that great, but comparative to everything else, it's great. I think that their marketing is brilliant if they don't announce the theme, like you were saying, Pam, because you just don't know what's coming. But also, when they had, like, Coven and they were releasing 1,500 trailers, from a writing standpoint, I have zero theories at this point. If you're telling me you're not going to announce the theme and I have to write up every single trailer, I just can't do it. So I think that, like, it's too overwhelming at this point because we have all these news outlets who feel the need to cover every single thing that's coming out and be like, this is the theme, this is confirmed, we're doing this now. So it's exhausting from, I guess, if you're in a different position, like as a writer writing about American Horror Story. I wish that I was a fan in this particular moment, because then I could take, I would be excited. I'd be like, what does this mean? What is, I would be more questioning as opposed to, why are you doing this to my life?
Fair enough.
I think I just need that detachment right now. So I am looking forward to the season to get kicked off and just really get into it.
Sounds like fun. Well, moving from FX to another, you know, a different cable property, but HBO has put out some amazing stuff in the last couple of years. And one that they are definitely banking on is Westworld, which premieres October 2nd. And it's J.J. Abrams and Jonathan Nolan, who are both names that should have you excited right off the bat. But they've created this series, which is based on the 1973 film of the same title written by Michael Crichton. And it's about a futuristic theme park that is populated by artificial beings that are there, like, they've been created and put there. That's really the best way to describe it. It's insane. If you look at the trailer, you see that it's kind of set, it's Western-themed, it's set in that way. The cast includes pretty much everyone you could ever want to see on TV, including James Marsden, Evan Rachel Wood, Ed Harris, Anthony Hopkins, Jeffrey Wright. There's a ton of people in this. Every time I watch the trailer, I catch someone new who I'm like, wait a minute, I know them. Including like Ben Barnes, who you might remember from the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. What is that series? I can't
Prince
even think
Caspian.
Of it. Thank you. Prince Caspian. That's the one. Like, there's a ton of people in this series. It looks really awesome. HBO has a lot of faith in it. They are already planning out the story for 5, 6, 7 seasons down the line. They want to make this like this giant, detailed, incredibly expansive TV universe. And so they are like, it hasn't even premiered yet, and they're already hopefully, you know, set to go for season 7. So I'm geeked. I want to see how this is going to start and what exactly the story behind all of this is and where it's going to go. So, should be cool.
This is the first time that I'm ever hearing about this, and this sounds amazing. Like, yeah, oh my gosh.
It's really crazy and really hard to, like, put into words. The whole idea of it is kind of intense and bigger than life.
I'm looking at the trailer right now, and it's tripping me out because, like you said, Western, but then you also said futuristic theme park, and I'm very confused right now. My brain doesn't know how to comprehend.
Basically,
this.
It's like your wildest dreams. Like, you can do anything, and there's no, like, there's basically, like, no rules, almost. from what I remember from the trailer. What's really cool about this too is that, like, you know, HBO is also very good at their marketing. So the website, the official website for this show, it basically looks like one big travel advertisement, like, come visit Westworld. And, like, you can even go as far as, like, trying to book, except everything is sold out, unfortunately. So no Westworld trips for us.
Dang.
But it really does a nice job of showing you, like, the different parts of this amusement park. This show, equal parts terrifies me and also intrigues me, because the idea of artificial intelligence is really scary, and I feel like we're not far off.
We aren't far off. That's the scariest part, is that we have technology that can do a lot of this now, which is very creepy. So shows like this are way more creepy. Sorry, it was off tangent, but then I brought it back.
Yeah, I'm a J.J. Abrams fangirl, and I love everything this man does, so I'm really excited to see him getting back, you know, into the TV side of things and see what he's got. To him and HBO together just seems like a match made in heaven, so I'm definitely going to be checking this out in October.
Yeah, and Jonathan Nolan, too. I was obsessed with Person of Interest, which just ended with their take on artificial intelligence, and it was one of my favorite procedurals on TV, and it turned into a serialized drama towards the end, and I'm really excited for them to be teaming up to bring this to HBO. And it's awesome. It's so unlike anything that's on right now, which I think is huge and exciting territory to go into. But HBO has some lighter comedies coming in October, on October 9th. And Sarah Jessica Parker is making her triumphant return to HBO's Sunday night comedy block with Divorce. And she is playing a woman who's divorcing her husband, who's played by Thomas Hayden Church. And the trailer is so funny and just heartfelt. And I think it's going to be brilliant. Molly Shannon is in this. And it's basically these two people who probably could have gone on to celebrate their 60th wedding anniversary, but they just were like, you know what? I'm bored and I don't feel like being married to you anymore. And we're just going to hate each other for the rest of our days together. So why not try something different? And I think it's such a great role for Sarah Jessica Parker to be coming back into. And I've loved the trailer so much. I've watched it quite a few times. And I'm just really excited to see her in this role and just get Sarah Jessica Parker back on my TV outside of Sex and the City. I feel like this is Sex and the City if Thomas Hayden Church was Big, even though they would stay for Carrie and Big would stay married forever in my mind. I just think that Sarah Jessica Parker in this role is going to be hilarious and wonderful.
You know what? I totally agree. As soon as I heard the premise for this show, I felt like it was almost a full circle moment for Carrie in a way, because, you know, in Sex and the City, she's kind of like looking for Mr. Right. And here she's like, well, she kind of found him, but she decided he wasn't Mr. Right after all. So it is a very interesting concept. And it's really cool for her to be coming back to HBO. It's kind of the network that started it all for her in terms of catapulting her into a pop culture icon status forever.
Plus, her outfits are fantastic once again. I mean,
always on point.
Yeah, how could they not be? If you wanted, like, if you had your fun Carrie Bradshaw phase and now you want your, like, more conservative Sarah Jessica Parker phase, this is the show, because she looks so good. Oh, I love her so much. And a newcomer to HBO is Issa Rae, who's starring in Insecure. And if you have not seen the trailer for Insecure and related to it in one way or another, I don't know what I could tell you, because there's a scene in the trailer where Issa Rae is in a bar and she's out with her friends, and her friend's like dressed to the nines, like, you know, skirt, cute tank top, perfect shoes, like high heels, and like her hair's all done. And Issa Rae is staying next to her, dressed beautifully, but wearing Converse. And they're like, oh, you're dressed comfortably. And I am just like, that is me. And every scene that she is in where she's trying to give herself a motivational, like, little pep talk in the mirror to, like, you can do this, you're awesome. And then, like, going out and just, you know, feeling so comfortable and confident, and someone just being like, oh, Like, you just didn't try. And I think that she just is so funny, and she's not sure where she is in her life. She's playing a woman who is on the brink of turning 30 and sort of reexamining everything that she's done in her life up until this point, from the guy she's dated to the, like, you know, is this the person I want to spend the rest of my life with, sitting on the couch just having, like, you know, a good laugh or two? Or do I want to get out there? Do I want to try something different? I'm not being taken seriously in my job. And it's really a reflection on her race in the workplace and in life as well, like how people respond to her as a woman, how people respond to her as a Black woman. And the trailer, I've only seen the trailer, and I'm sold. I watched it a couple of times today, actually, just prepping for this. And I cannot recommend it enough. I cannot wait to check it out back to back with Divorce.
Trailer actually for the first time today, and it looks hysterical. It looks great, but also, like, very real, and it's a really good combination of the two, and I really look forward to it. Also, I love the fact that we have, like, another, like, newcomer comedian coming to a TV show, because it's really great when we get to see some fresh, really funny talent, and I'm very excited about this one too.
Yeah, and she does have a YouTube web series called Awkward Black Girl. So if you haven't seen that, definitely check it out. I watched a couple of them today. I did not know about this. I had seen the trailer completely removed from knowing who Issa Rae was, and just seeing a couple of things from her today, they're hilarious, and she is such a great talent, and I'm really excited to see her helm her own series.
I hadn't even heard of this until I saw it on the list, and it sounds fantastic. I can't wait. I'm definitely going to be checking out the trailer. I haven't even seen that, and I can't wait. Yeah, it sounds like fun.
I love how there's, like, a couple of shows here that the hosts haven't even heard of, and we're like, wait, what? It's great. Well, next up on NBC, I have a television pilot that airs on October 3rd called Timeless, starring Abigail Spencer and Matt Lanter. And it's this really cool time travel show. And just to make sure that you guys aren't confused, because I was confused, there are two time traveling shows coming out this TV season, the other one being premiering next, like, during, like, the springtime in January. This is not the time-traveling one about, like, the old-timey, like this person. It was H.G. Wells.
About H.G. Wells, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, this is not the one about H.G. Wells. This is the one about a criminal who travels back in time through a time machine, and there's this special team of time travelers who have to go and catch up with him and follow him throughout history to try and stop him from doing whatever it is he's doing. So, whereas H.G. Wells has this, like, very, like, fictional, more fantastical type of element, I think, to it, this one, while about time travel, is more, it's so weird that I have to say the word realistic. Like, does that even make sense? Like, this isn't about, like, H.G. Wells or a fictional character. This is about, like, what would actually happen if someone traveled through time, you know? And they'll go back through real events in history, and we'll see, like, things, like, when we did the exhibit at Comic-Con, they had an exhibit about Timeless, and they had ads from Titanic and from, like, a stock market crash, and so we'll see a bunch of really significant moments in history happen on this show, I assume. So if you're, like, a history buff and you really like the concept of time travel and also true, like, history events and historical fiction, I think this is up, right up your alley. Are you guys excited? No?
I'm into it. I love time travel. Sign me up.
There's
I'll be there October 3rd.
Okay, cool. I'm really sad because, like, it's going to be very confusing when people talk about Timeless or Time After Time, because they're both time travel shows and they both have the word time after them. So we'll see how this fares.
Yeah, but only one makes you want to sing a song, so that's how I keep it straight.
And one we have to wait until January for, trust me. As soon as Time After Time is out, I will not be able to stop talking about it.
Okay, good. Because I will join you in that talk. And then I have another NBC show to talk about. This one I've actually seen the pilot of. It's called This Is Us, starring Milo Ventimiglia, which is his first TV return since Heroes, and Mandy Moore. And it's about a bunch of characters who are learning about themselves at the ripe old age of 30. Oh, so old. No, I'm kidding. They're all experiencing their 30th birthdays, and it picks up right on their 30th birthdays for each character and kind of explores who they are. They're kind of realizing that they're at this point in this life, in their life, where they want to make a huge change. And whether it's this one woman who wants to lose weight or this one actor who wants to be taken more seriously, the show is very much like Parenthood. I did a review earlier this year comparing the show to Parenthood because a lot of people kind of feel this gap after Parenthood ended. And I know, Kristen, you watched Parenthood, right?
Yes, but I did not watch the final season because I hate endings.
I know that about you, and I actually knew that fact. But Parenthood is great, right?
Yes, it's a great show.
And so for anyone who's seen Parenthood and they really loved it and they're kind of like want another show like that, this is the show that you're going to want to go to because it has the whole family aspect. It has like the connection aspect, and like these characters are so real and so vulnerable at times in the pilot that it makes you really want to connect with them. And there's this twist at the very, very end that I will not reveal, but it explains why the show is about like all of these specific characters, and it's going to blow your mind because it like blew mine. So if you're looking for a really hearty, good, feel good show with like a little bit of drama, you're definitely going to want to tune in on September 20th when it premieres.
So I love that you talked about this twist, because I think that when I first saw this trailer, and I know a lot of people felt this way too, I thought it was a movie for a moment before I realized it was a TV show. So I mean, like, in your opinion, can you see this show like having life after one season, like two seasons? Like, can you see it going on? Because I think that is on the cusp of some people's concerns. Like, the idea sounds like it would play out better in a longer movie, not necessarily like in a TV show.
I am intrigued by it. Absolutely. With the way that they portrayed it in the trailer, it definitely does feel like one of those like romantic comedy type movies. And it feels very short-lived. Like, you see these moments happening in the trailer and you're like, well, okay, I know how this is going to end. Like, what's the point here? But when you watch the pilot, you kind of get that feeling up until a certain point, and then they reveal the thing at the end, and that reveal opens up the entire series to several seasons, because just the things that they can do with what they've revealed is, like, they can do a lot. They can go through a lot of seasons with this show, and it's definitely something that I think can last. If everyone who loved Parenthood watched the show, I can definitely see this having the same run as Parenthood.
I'm just really excited to see Mandy Moore back in the acting game. She's had some small roles in the last couple of years. Like, she was on that little arc on Grey's Anatomy, and she's had a couple other little things, but I love her as an actress, and I've missed her quite a bit. So I'm glad to see her getting back into it, and I will definitely be checking this out for that alone, let alone all of the other interesting characters that I keep seeing in the trailer. And yeah, it looks really fun.
Yeah, it's great. I'm like, out of all these shows, I think this is the one I'm most excited for.
All right. Well, from dramas to comedies, The Good Place is another show that is set to premiere on NBC. That's coming out on September 19th. And this stars Kristen Bell, who, of course, we all know from Veronica Mars, among other things, and Ted Danson, who's like an icon. So it's great. This show is about a woman who dies in an unfortunate accident. And when she dies, she realizes that there is an afterlife, and she goes somewhere that is called The Good Place. That's where the title comes from. The Good Place is a place for good people, and there is a bad place, and that's a place for bad people. So the kicker is that Eleanor, who is played by Kristen Bell, she's not supposed to be in The Good Place. And it's all fine and dandy until basically the universe steps in, realizes that she's not supposed to be here, and things kind of start going crazy. The show is actually, it's from Mike Shore, who many of us will know from Parks and Rec and The Office. And something that I found really interesting about this series, because I covered it at Comic-Con, I got to see the pilot, which is really, really, really funny. It's a great, like, you know, 30-minute sitcom. It's wonderful. Is that Ted Danson didn't even read the script before he signed on. Apparently, he's really good friends with Kristen Bell, loves the idea of working with her, and, like, is a huge fan of Mike Schur, who is also a huge fan of his. So, like, they had an equal opportunity fanboy moment for each other. And, yeah, he was just like, yeah, sign me up. And it works really well. I'm excited to see what other people think because, like I said, I thought the pilot was really, really fun. And I'm really excited to see where they take these characters.
Yeah, I've read nothing but great things about this. And I've been really paying attention to NBC's, like, path to regaining their comedy ground. And they're really quick to dismiss shows. And so I'm really interested to see what they're going to do with this, especially because of such a high concept show that they're trying to introduce in order to, like, you know, regain their dominance over comedy. And I think that the combination of Kristen Bell and Ted Danson is brilliant. So I'm really, I'm into it. I'm looking forward to it.
I've heard of the show, like I've heard the title, The Good Place, but I hadn't heard what it's about or seen the trailer until just now, and it sounds hysterical. Like, wow. I think...
And I was going to say, I don't know about you guys, but I'm, like, looking for a good sitcom. I feel like I'm still trying to fill the How I Met Your Mother void, so I'm really kind of hoping that this kind of does it for me. I know they're two completely different shows, but I'm looking for a sitcom to add to my lineup.
No, yeah. I agree.
Yeah, and they have, NBC right now has Superstore, which is going into season two, and I think Superstore is brilliant.
Agreed.
It makes me laugh so much. It's so cute and just wholesome, and it's a really good NBC comedy, and I think that this will play well in that area.
And it's everything you want to know about what goes on in a Superstore when the doors are closed and when they have special theme days, and like, it's Superstore is great. So yeah, I will be definitely looking at The Good Place just to kind of keep me on that amazing fun comedy bandwagon.
Well, it's not comedy, but it makes me feel good. The Netflix special that we've all been waiting for. And I think you know what this is. Gilmore Girls. Obviously. The Gilmore Girls, four, like, 1 hour long, or hour and a half long episodes, are they? They're like mini movies, are coming to Netflix this fall. I don't have a release date next to me.
November 25th.
November 25th.
I'm
sorry. It's ingrained. I have it basically tucked
into
my brain.
I am going it's to be on so high on Thanksgiving stuffing and turkey and Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, and it's coffee. Are you kidding me?
Oh my gosh.
I wish you lived on the same coast. I want to have a Gilmore Girls party and, like, nobody I know in this area wants to watch it with me.
I will absolutely, like, go up there and have a Gilmore
Girls
party with you, because who needs Thanksgiving and turkey and football when you have Thanksgiving and turkey and Gilmore Girls?
Like, hey, now. You still need football.
Okay. Oh, sorry. So, I mean, we all know who's in this show. We got Lauren Graham returning, Alexis Bledel. We have really basically everyone else of the main cast, basically almost everyone returning for these specials, including Melissa McCarthy, even though that was like a struggle and a half. And it's just going to be, we don't really know the premise of the entire story. We just know that every mini movie is going to go through a different season. So we're going to have spring, summer, winter, and fall, right? Yes.
Winter.
Yes.
Winter.
Winter is the first one. Winter is coming.
So I'm super stoked, even though you guys obviously know more about this and, like, they have the release date, like, ingrained into your brain. I cannot wait, because I recently got into Gilmore Girls and it's awesome.
I was gonna say there's normal people and then there's people like me and Brittany.
Yeah, I was like, when I saw that Kyle was gonna be introducing this, I was like, oh, okay, hold yourself in, lovely, hold it in.
And you, like, were just ready to, like, blurt out the release date, like, come on, November 25th.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I was fortunate enough to go down to the ATX festival last year, and interview the cast when they did the reunion, and just the feeling of them being together and seeing them together and having them all on stage when the question was posed, like, do you think you could come together and do something? And everyone was very tight-lipped, but the unanimous answer was yes. And just hearing them tell stories about days on set, and even like Milo and Scott Patterson, when they were saying like running lines between Luke and Jess, and just those scenes, how they would work on them outside and just get together in each other's trailers and, like, you know, talk about what they wanted to bring to that scene. Everything just felt so right and happy, and there was no contention. And I'm so excited for them to come together. This is the only sequel / reunion / anything I've wanted in years. And I'm so happy that it's happening and everybody feels so good about it.
Yeah.
And really... what did you guys think of the script? Did you read the first page of the script?
I mean, I definitely did. And I may have acted it out by myself in my room with a cup of coffee. It's a big deal.
See, yeah, I was avoiding it on purpose because I don't, like, I just want to see it. I don't want to know anything. I just want to walk into these episodes and fall in love with them just as much as I did the show. Like, I have not read the script page, but I know I did see when it, like, was released and was kind of like, do I need this? Is this a thing I should do? And, yeah, I chose to stay in the dark.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot more rewarding for me personally when I turn on Netflix and hit play and I'm just like... For the very first scene, I can't.
Yeah,
you know,
I definitely read it, and multiple times, and it felt so good. It just, like, their voices came alive. Yes, exactly. That is such a great word. Their voices just came alive, and you read it in their tone and in their pacing, and you knew that there would be like five more pages before they even, like, you know, took a step or something because of the pacing that you wanted it to happen at. So you're reading a page of the script, but as you know, in Gilmore Girls, they talk so fast that a page of the script is like a split second in the Gilmore Girls universe. So it was, oh, it's so good. I'm so excited. And I'm very happy that we're kicking off in winter, because I don't know about all of you guys, but end of fall, first snow, winter is my favorite Gilmore Girl time.
Yes. Everything good happens when it snows. It's floral ahead of the plate. Yeah. And shameless plug for our Gilmore Girl specials on my podcast, because I feel like we always have to do that whenever we talk about Gilmore Girls. We are in the midst of trying to figure out when we're going to record season 5. So if you guys are keeping up with that with us, we hope you've been watching, because we're hoping to get that episode out very, very soon for you guys.
Okay. So Netflix has another series that's coming out this fall here, just a couple weeks, September 30th. There's this series called Luke Cage. I don't know if anybody's heard about it. That's right. We've all heard about it. It's going to be fantastic. We saw him in Jessica Jones. You got to know him a little bit. We are all definitely, you know, geeked about it at Hypeable. I know we had a lot of people trying to scramble into that panel this year at Comic-Con because it was packed and crazy. The trailer for this is fantastic. It gives you all of the action and the fun that you got a glimpse of with his presence in Jessica Jones. And for those that have no idea about any of it and have never seen Jessica Jones and don't know, Mike Coulter, plays the lead character, Luke Cage, who has super strength and durability, which is the result of a sabotaged experiment, and he kind of becomes a superhero for hire. Like, he doesn't necessarily go around advertising his strength, but when he has to use it, he does. And in his relationship with Jessica Jones, he's, you know, he helps her out, and she is super strong as well, so she and him have this interesting connection, and we don't know yet whether we're going to see her in it. As far as I know, I did my research today and could not find any notes about her appearing, but we can only hope that possibly toward the end we may get an appearance, who knows. But also, In the series, you'll see Mahershala Ali, who you may remember from The Hunger Games, amongst many other things, Theo Rossi, Alfre Woodard, and Simone Missick. When we saw them all sitting on the stage at Comic-Con, man, it was intense and amazing, and they were all so excited about this series and these characters, and it's going to be fantastic. I'm definitely looking forward to the end of September.
I saw the trailer for this, and I think the trailer sold me more than the idea of it, which is awesome. So I think if you're on the fence, the trailer does a really good job of setting it up. And what I like about Luke Cage is that he has like this human element to him. Like he is like very stoic as a character, but I think it shows a different side of him that like we haven't seen, or at least I haven't seen because I haven't read the comics. So I'm down for this. I think it'll take me a while to get to it, but I am excited to get to it on my Netflix queue for sure.
Another little fun fact for you, Chao Coker structured the series to be like a good album, like a good music album. I believe every episode is supposed to kind of like feel like a track. And I don't remember, there was a specific album that inspired him for it that he kind of used, ran it by. I can't remember the name of it now. But it's going to feel like one big story and one big album, like, you know, like the good old days when you sat down with a CD and you wanted the whole thing. And so it's going to be amazing. I really am looking forward to it.
Now, for a show that if you have cable, you may or may not know that you have a network that is run solely by Oprah Winfrey called the OWN Network. There's a show that premiered this week on OWN called Queen Sugar. It premiered on 9/7, so really just a few days ago. They premiered the first two episodes, and it's going to now be on Wednesdays at 10 o'clock. And it stars Rutina Wellesley and Dawn Lynn Gardner. And I think it's Dawn who was on True Blood. I never saw True Blood, but I think
Rutina.
One of them. Rutina. Okay, Rutina, yeah. Was on True Blood. Okay, great. I knew, I thought you watched True Blood, Kristen, but I was not sure.
Yeah.
So Rutina was on True Blood. But now she stars as one of the Bordelon children. And they're this small family from Louisiana, right outside of New Orleans. And their father owns sugar fields. And the family is kind of estranged. One of the daughters, two of the children, a daughter and a son, still live in Louisiana. And the son was just recently released from jail. He has a 5-year-old kid he's trying to do right by, and he's taking him in, and the mother is an addict, so he's really trying to raise him on his own and get a job and get everything settled with his old debts. And then there's this other daughter who's really into like holistic health and sort of takes on some of the family tradition of like healing through prayer and meditation and a little bit of, you know, medicinal medicines. And she's also a prominent reporter for a major Louisiana newspaper, and she's carrying on an affair. Then there's the other daughter who moved out to LA. She is big into business, married to a star basketball player, and a scandal breaks out on the basketball team where all of the major players are accused of raping young women, and her husband gets caught on tape taking a woman into his hotel room, and her son is caught up in the mix, and they all go down to Louisiana because the father suffers a stroke. And it really brings these three siblings together and tries to reconnect them. And I wasn't going to watch this until every single reviewer on my Twitter feed was like, you have to watch Queen Sugar. And so I did. And it was developed with a collaboration between Oprah and Ava DuVernay, who I don't know if many of you probably know who she is. She's a director. She's currently doing A Wrinkle in Time. And she wrote and directed most of these episodes. And it was just beautifully shot. Even if you care nothing about the storyline, if you just watch how these episodes are filmed, it is so great. There's so much focus on like their faces and just so much blank space. And a lot of the shots are done in wide shots, and you feel, even though like the shots are so disconnected, you just feel it. They're so riddled with emotion. And I think that the show is beautifully done, and I'm really looking forward to watching more of it. Unfortunately, it's going to conflict with American Horror Story, so I know I'm going to lose track of it at some point this year when I'm trying to catch up, but it's definitely going to be one that's on my radar and that I'm going to be checking in on throughout the season.
I love Ava DuVernay. I had not heard about this, but you just sold me because you said she was attached. I think that she is a wonderful, wonderful director, and I'm so excited that she's doing more mainstream stuff. Like, not that her other stuff isn't great, but I love that she's getting the attention that she's deserved for quite a long time in mainstream Hollywood. And it's really funny that you mentioned Queen Sugar, because right before we started recording, we did get a tweet from one of our listeners named Bobby, who said, I haven't listened to the new episode yet, but just in case you haven't, I'd love to hear your thoughts on Queen Sugar on the next episode. Well, Bobby, the good news is that we're going to get to that sooner rather than later. So if you're listening to this, that's Brittany's thoughts. And I think that I'll be checking it out for sure. I had no idea that this was a show. So that's awesome.
And she is all over it, like Ava, just because she directed it, she wrote it, she's a producer on it. It is really her material in just such a great form. You just really feel like this is one of her pieces. And to have it, you know, for 10 or so weeks, it's going to be really great.
Awesome. And, actually, that's the last show that we have for you guys, but we hope that we helped you out in terms of letting you know about some of the shows that you should definitely be keeping an eye out for as we head into the fall TV season. And we are going to wrap up our main discussion with just a couple of broad questions, go around the table, and end it on like a note, just bring it all back. So the first question I have for you guys, and anybody can answer this, are there any series that like you feel are getting a lot of hype right now that you're not necessarily excited for?
I think everything that's coming to CBS, I am just not excited for, especially Kevin Can Wait and Bull.
Because, yep, those were mine too.
Oh, I just feel like Bull, we've seen it 100 times, and Kevin Can Wait, they're really like banking on huge King of Queens fans to come and watch the show. They even have like Kevin James in one promo that I saw against his counterpart from King of Queens. And I'm like, I don't understand why you're pitching the same show. So most of CBS's new lineup, I'm also not feeling like Fox's like Lethal Weapon and MacGyver. Just, I'm not into any of that.
I feel that. I think MacGyver's going to flop, which is sad because it looks like it's got a really big budget.
And poor Lucas Till, because I do like him. Yeah, I'm with you, Brittany, though. Kevin Can Wait is one that's on my Are We Really Doing This list. Like, another Kevin James star vehicle, like, half-hour comedy. It just seems like it's been done a million times, and I'm over it. And Bull, it's Michael Weatherly, so I feel bad, because I know people are really excited about it for him. But other than that, like, it just seems, like, generic, and I can't get behind it.
And so we already kind of talked about like flops and things that we don't think should be getting the hype that they are getting. What do we think is going to be like the crowning jewel, like the gem of this TV season? Because there's so many great programs coming up, but which this one do we us. Think is going to come out on top? You think so?
Yeah. I have full faith in this television show, like hardcore, like because Parenthood was so well received and this is so close, but just different enough to keep you interested, I think it's going to be awesome.
I think NBC has a really good stronghold on things that I personally may not be excited for, but I think are going to succeed, especially Speechless, which that's the new comedy with Minnie Driver and her son who is disabled. And, you know, they get that voice for his, like, you know, wheelchair and all this. I don't think it's for me personally, but I feel like it's gotten such great hype, and I think it does have a fan base out there. So I'm really, and including This Is Us, I think NBC is really playing their cards well this season for a broadcast going in to really reaping the ratings.
Yeah, I really think Westworld is an easy pick because HBO has knocked it out of the park so much lately, but I really think it's going to be one of those water cooler shows where people are talking about it all the time. It just, it seems bigger than life, and it's different and new, and I think that could help it do very, very, very well.
Yeah, and speaking of water cooler moments, things that are going to do extremely well, even though I want them to fail extraordinarily, is the Rocky Horror special that's coming to Fox, because
that's right.
Oof, I am not looking forward to that. Will I watch it and hate tweet it? Absolutely. But I think it's going to get the ratings that Fox wants out of it.
You know, I feel like I'm going to do the same thing, because the thing about Rocky Horror is that I feel like people have a lot of emotional ties to it. So I think people either going to like love it because it's Rocky Horror, or they're going to hate it because it doesn't live up to their expectations of Rocky Horror. I just don't really feel like we need it. But that's also kind of rich coming from me, because one thing I do think we need is the upcoming Hairspray Live special that we're going to get during the holidays.
No, we definitely need that.
I am all for that. I'm so excited for that.
I'm not excited for Dirty Dancing, though. This remake.
Oh, no.
It's hit and miss. It's hit and miss with these musicals. But Hairspray, I think you can do over and over and over and over again. Rocky Horror, you should never do again. Like, act it out in front of the actual thing. Fine. I'll see a million of those. Don't remake it.
Agreed. Okay. And the last question I have for everybody, we're just going to go around the table. We're going to start with Kristen, and then we're going to go to Kyle, then Brittany, and then I'll go last. What is the one non-new series that you're really excited to see come back this season, and why are you excited to see it come back?
For me, it's Supergirl. I want to see what the CW is going to do. I want to see what, if this show is going to change at all. I loved its first season. It was fantastic. Knowing now that it's existing on the same network with Arrow and Flash and all of those, and they've already done a Flash crossover, I want to see what they're going to do from here. We already know that they're planning and working on some crossovers, including a musical crossover, which has me more geeked than ever to have Melissa Benoist and Grant Gustin singing together, hopefully. I'm really excited. I think it's going to be fantastic. There are a few bumps along the road, like possibly not getting Cat Grant back for full season. They've already guaranteed us 6 episodes, but we don't know how many she's going to be back for. It's one of my favorite shows on TV right now, and I can't wait to see how it does on the CW.
Kyle?
My show is going to be Vampire Diaries, because it is the last season. It's the last ever, like, season premiere that we're going to get from Vampire Diaries, and I really want to know how they're going to go about and end it. And, like, I want to know if Nina's going to come back. I want to know how they're going to go out. Because the show has had so many emotional episodes where, like Bonnie's funeral, like, way long ago was, like, the most emotional thing that I think I've ever watched on the CW. So I really want something like that to happen again for the season finale, but because I'm just ready to, like, bawl my eyes out when it all ends. I mean, it deserves an ending, finally, but I can't wait to see how they do it.
My pick is coming up later this month, and it's Transparent. It comes out, I believe, on the 23rd of September, and coming to Hypebol very soon, we'll have a lot of interviews with the entire cast, which I just conducted. And this show makes me feel like no other show has ever in the history of television. It is so good and so real and so deep. And I'm just so excited to see where these characters go for the next season. And the last episode's premise for this season just sounds so brilliant and wonderful and messy and complicated. And I have fallen in love with the Pfeffermans, and I cannot wait to see what happens in Transparent Season 3. And luckily, I only have to wait a couple weeks to get the next chapter. So yeah, Transparent is definitely something I'm looking forward to this fall.
And finally, mine is AMC's The Walking Dead. You guys, Negan is here. He's been here. We've kind of just been waiting to see who the heck he killed at the tail end of last season. So I'm so, so, so excited for season 7 to pick back up again. Unfortunately, that does not pick up until the end of October. It premieres on Sunday, October 23rd. But rest assured, I will be in front of my television screen waiting for that to come on as soon as September 23rd hits. I'm so excited to see what they do with this season. I feel like The Walking Dead, like, every once in a while, like, they slow down, but for the most part, they really, like, knock it out of the park in their season finales, and I think that that's what keeps me and many, many other viewers wanting more, so I'm definitely looking forward to checking that out. And the trailer that they released in at Comic-Con this year was amazing, and that just got me even more excited for that, so... Okay, so that does it. Whoa, I forgot how to English. That's so sad. All right, you guys, with that, we are all done with our fall TV preview special. We really, really hope that you enjoyed it and you've got some other shows to add to your lineup now that you've heard us talk about them. Write in and let us know what you thought about this special. It's a little bit different than some of the other ones that we've done before. And if you guys liked it, we really want to know, because if you did, then we'll be back to do something similar when the second crop of the 2016-2017 season shows pick up again in January. So we really need your feedback to know if that's something that you'd like to see. And if you kind of liked this format, because we might do some other preview specials in the future. And if you want to get in contact with us to let us know what you thought about this episode or any other episode in the future, there are many, many ways to get a hold of us. For starters, if you have a rather shorter comments, you can always drop us a line via Twitter. We are at Hypeable Hype on there. We are also at Hypeable Hype on Instagram, as a little bit of a fun side note in case you want to keep up with all of the pop culture adventures the hosts are having in between shows. If you have lengthy comments, you can leave them for us in two different ways. For starters, you can always leave them in the show notes on the latest episode on Hypeable.com. And alternatively, you can drop us a line via email. If you want to reach us via email, our email address is hype@hypeable.com. And then finally, as another fun bonus, we are over on Tumblr. So if you want to come hang out with us over there, we are at hypepodcast.tumblr.com. So there are plenty of ways to get in touch. And we really love hearing from you guys. So don't be shy. And we can't wait to hear what you think about this episode. Brittany, thank you so much for coming on. We're so excited that you were able to join us, because I know
you're for having me.
Fan. Yeah. And if we do this again, we will totally be having you on, and I'm sure we'll have you on at some point again too. Thank you so much for listening. Keep an eye on our Twitter, because we have a bunch of episodes coming up, including our Stranger Things special, of course, this special. And then, of course, we do release shows every week. So keep a lookout for those, and Twitter is the best way to do that. Until next time, my name is Pamela.
I'm Brittany.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Kyle.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.